Tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
1800 938 007. That's our free phone number. You'll be speaking to Trudy. And of course, you can text me on 083 311 3311. As ever, we'd be delighted to hear from you. And whether you're joining in our conversations or indeed coming up with something brand new. Now, we were speaking to Billy just before news, and he was highlighting the danger of the Redmondstown Junction outside of Clonmel, and he was also concerned about the opposing speed limits in that area as well. And Councillor Martin Lunigan has been kind enough to get on to us. Martin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran. Good morning to all your listeners.
Good to talk to you today. You have some news about that, Martin.
I have, actually. It had been Deputy Matthew McGrath who had been on to me, I suppose, in recent weeks in relation to this and brought it to my attention. And I subsequently was contacted by a number of people in relation to this. And I suppose just to bring people up to date on the matter, if your listeners might recall that there was a national speed limit review which recently took place across the country. It was organised by Transport Infrastructure Ireland. They were responsible for the speed limit review. And the current the road in question is on the N24, which is a national route, Fran, as you'll know.
Yeah, sure.
Now, and I suppose the new 100 kilometre per hour speed limits on the Waterford Road has been moved to the start of the traffic calming. 131.
Oh, there you go. I think we've lost Martin. Can you still hear me, Martin? Okay, I think we've lost Martin there. So, Trudy, we might make an attempt to get Councillor Martin Lunigan back online with us there. Now, it's a slightly dodgy line there anyway. And let's see if we can improve on that. 1800 938 007. Now, there's an appeal for a missing Tipperary man and Will Tiernan, and last seen in Limerick City. And friends and colleagues have appealed for help in tracing his whereabouts after he was last seen in Limerick City in the early hours of Tuesday morning. He's from Coolbawn in Enagh, and he was last seen at 2:20 on CCTV in John Square area of Limerick City on Tuesday the 12th, following a night out with some colleagues. He works as a psychiatric nurse with the HSE. He was with friends at the Icon nightclub on Monday night. He was later spotted on CCTV on Denmark Street about 10 past 1, and then at John Square, as we said, at around 20 past 2. Friends and work colleagues of the popular nurse have described his disappearance as completely out of character, and they've launched a wide-scale social media campaign in the hope of tracing him. So if you have any news on Mr. Tiernan, you might be able to help out the Henry Street Gardaí in Limerick on 061-212-400. That's 061-212-400. Difficult time of the year, difficult situation at any time to have somebody missing, but particularly on the run-up to Christmas. So if you can help out there at all, please do. Councillor Martin Lunigan is back online with us. Martin, good morning again.
Good morning. Sorry about that, friend. The line was bad there.
No problem at all, Martin. So you were saying anyway about that road into Clonmel there.
Yeah. The national route, Fran, as we all know, so the new 100 kilometre per hour speed limits on the Waterford Road have been moved to the start of the traffic calming there. People in Clonmel would know it well, or people travelling that road.
Yes.
And that's about 131 metres west of the Redmondstown Junction, closer to Clonmel, I suppose, following the speed limit review. And this proposal, and I've only learnt about this during the week, that to alter the speed limit location here was based on the recommendation of the Transport Infrastructure Ireland's consultants, RPS, following their review of the national roads speed limits there earlier on in the year. Now, I can't understand the reasoning why they were moved in, to be honest with you. It's a very busy junction there, the Redmondstown Junction, and I'm very concerned about it. And I have responded to them earlier on in the week wanting to know the reasons why they were moved in near the town, because, you know, the junction there has been made more dangerous, and we'll just have to review the situation there, you know?
Yeah, and just for clarity again now, that's brought closer into the town where you can drive up to 100 kilometres an hour, is that it?
That's it, yeah. It has been brought closer in, I suppose, near the entrance there into the Woolmer's facility, Fran. You probably know it yourself.
I know
there.
It well. Whereas on the other side of the road there, Martin, it's 60 kilometres coming in.
Yes, and I can't understand that. You know, it's unusual. You can go from 100 up to 100 miles per hour after passing the Bulmers entrance, now passing the Redmondstown Junction. whereas the 60 kilometres on the other side is down further, if you know what I mean.
It seems a bit strange already. The only excuse they can come up with is that they're trying to slow the traffic, obviously, as they make their way into town.
Yes, coming into the town, but still, Fran, you're causing another problem there with the entrance into Redmondstown or up that road.
Yeah, because traffic are travelling faster then.
It is, but we're going to have to look into it further. And as I said, I've asked for reasoning why this has happened, and as soon as I get a further response, I'll be back in touch with you.
All right, because Billy's description over there, certainly it seems to be a pretty dangerous situation.
Yes, and I suppose just to update the people, your listeners too, that this came into effect from the 13th of November, so it's currently the speed limits are currently in effect or so.
It's strange. I know it's outside of your jurisdiction, Martin, but outside of Cashel as well, on the old Dublin road there, I think, what is it, the N8, there was much talk of bringing up the speed limit there to 100, but the signs there are still 80, even though officially I think it's brought up to 100. And I saw a traffic van out there recently as well. So I'm just wondering, do the traffic van, do they go on the new speed limit or do they adhere to the signs?
I presume they would have some kind of system in place where they would be going by the new system or the new speed limit, Fran. Yeah. I couldn't answer that now, to be honest with you, because I do recall that it was meant to be brought up to 100 kilometres an hour again, because having it 80 was nonsensical, to be honest with you.
Absolutely, on that particular road, it certainly was.
Stretch of road, you know.
Yeah, but is that, I mean, have the signs been changed right around the county, and is that just sort of on the long finger, or what's the story? Because the signs have obviously been changed outside of Clonmel.
They have, and as we said, that was only really, really recently, and it came into a force on the 13th of November, so perhaps they're in the process of doing it at the moment, and perhaps, Fran, now I could be wrong, I could be questioned about this, perhaps the 80 kilometre an hour applies until the signs do change. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, that's what I'd love to know. If you have a chance to figure that one out for us as well, Mark, we'd love to hear about it. Is that okay?
I will indeed.
All right, good to talk to you. Thanks very much indeed, and good morning to you. That's Councillor Martin Lundigan speaking to us there. All right, another one of our listeners. Good to speak to Michael Joseph. Good morning to you, Michael Joseph. Okay. Good morning, Michael Joseph. How are you?
I'm off well, anyway. No, I was listening to a gentleman yesterday there. He was an inspector, I think you were talking to him.
The superintendent, Willie Leahy, I think.
Willie probably meant he gave a good few things that you should do on the road. But, Fran, lights, they're saying speed kills and drunken driving kills.
Yeah.
Right. What about lights? You go into any village today in Ireland, tonight, we'll say tonight now when the light and the time comes, and there's a car parked on the left-hand side of the road, or the right-hand side of the road, and he's his lights left on. He's inside in the shop. Now, we had an incident down the road from here one evening, and Matt went mental. He nearly went cracked, shouting at your man over the lights. And your man said, sure, I only was on dims. He said, you shouldn't have lights on, which he was proper thing to say.
Yeah,
the man
yeah.
nearly crashed at a petrol station. Very near collision now with about four cars. But then, that's beside the point. You have lads with no number plates. So you can't see the back of the car. You're supposed to have a number plate on your car, so if he trips you tomorrow morning coming to work, you can't get his number plate. He's gone, he's laughing down the road. He's like your man said last night in the telly, they're waving at the security cameras. And the same with the lad with no number plates on the car. And that's your talk with speed and drunken driving. Lights are a killer. If they're left on, people going into shops, petrol stations, and everywhere else you go, there's lights left on, no matter where you pull up. They have been car parks, parked in car parks, driving up car parks with full headlights. What would you need lights on in a car park for? Just your side lights will do.
You see, an awful lot of it is that people forget, of course, that the lights are on, Michael Joseph, and that's part of it. But I agree with you. I've seen those situations in shops, you know, outside of particularly rural supermarkets and stuff, where people would leave something on the side of the road with the lights on, so you don't know where you're going if you're coming against them.
You're correct. You could be going left. You're parked to me left, he's parked to me right. And then the talk about speed. You don't have to do 30. If there's a 30-mile-an-hour sign in a village, you don't have to do 30.
Yeah, and Willie Leahy made that point. It's not a target.
No, you can do it. If you were going down the street in my town, you wouldn't want to be doing 30, because anybody can walk out in front.
Where's your town, Michael Joseph?
That's Urlingford in County Kilkenny. We're on the border, there's a chip there. Anybody can walk out there. That town is full of cars on both sides.
It
every
is.
Day.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to park.
And the trouble, well, I suppose it's a good thing in some ways, but it's a very straight run through Urlingford, so people would be inclined to be over the speed limit, I would imagine.
Well, you see, they're not saying they are, but you don't have to do 30 through Urlingford, you can do 20.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have the roundabout. Who indicates on a roundabout? Nobody.
Yeah, I know.
And you're coming up, you're going to stop, and your man, where's your man going? He's not coming your way at all. He's going off to the left, and you stop waiting for him.
Yeah, our ability on the motor on the roundabout is rather debatable. All right, yeah.
But Fran, people say, "Are you giving out?" But no one giving out. We're just stressing what can happen on the road, and it's not. If you go into a truck in the morning, you have to do 40 checks on that vehicle.
Yeah,
that everything works. And if you're stuck with a big dirty number plate above in Roscommon, the man will pull you in from the RSA and the Gardaí is there as well. And they say, wash it.
Yeah.
And you'll wash it there. Or if you have a bald tyre, they won't let you move.
But are you saying the cars get away with murder by comparison?
I'm driving a car myself, you drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
Or will you look to see, are there lights working in the morning? Have you two taillights?
I don't do that, to be honest.
Well,
no.
You see, you should, Fran.
Yeah.
And as well as that, you're supposed to check your headlights. Now, a bulb can go any time, we know that.
Yeah.
But there's people just... Like, when you see the car with the number plate that you can't even read, the back of the car is covered in muck.
Well, let me put it to you now. Do you come out every morning and
every
check your car?
Every time I check my lights, every day. And
every day?
Because I had to do it. When I was driving a truck, I had to do it.
So you got used to it?
Yes, well, sure, you got used to it because your man is there, pull in the side there.
Mm.
And you say, for what? You can't read the number plate. And that's the way it is.
So do you think the guards need to be tougher?
No, it's not the guards, it's just the people themselves. Just think.
Right.
Just think.
But you see, people won't do anything unless there's somebody after them with a stick.
I'm sure a man was right there this morning. You were talking to a gentleman this morning, you were as grey, weren't you?
I was.
About the yellow coats.
Mm.
Again, free. They're there for you, don't have to pay for them. And you will be seen, as you said, with 11 men with a dog.
Yeah.
If you run over him this morning, would they say you were drunk?
Oh, well, they wouldn't say they'd have no reason to say I was drunk, but they certainly said I was being careless.
I seen him drinking, he had one pint. He's still over the limit. No, he said the right thing, 100 euro, a lovely fine, fantastic fine to give him. And give it to the charities then that looking for the few bob.
Right.
Oh, that's all I have to say. We're not hard on giving up. We're just saying people should just cop on this morning.
Yeah, yeah. And
we all might drive fast and all, but there's a place for driving fast.
And it's what we came up with yesterday, which was the whole notion of personal responsibility as well, you know?
Yeah, well, if you want to drive fast, go up to Mandela Park. I'm sure you'll get a run around there.
I'm sure you would, indeed.
You know what I mean? A couple of motorway, you can do, 120 kilometres.
All right.
I'll be doing 120 kilometres through up around between... Boris and Austria, and
particularly up around Urlingford, where you are.
Well, the thing about it is, it's a busy town.
Yeah, sure.
Although it's bypassed, it's a fierce busy town.
Yeah, that's for sure. Listen, you look after yourself, Michael
and
Joseph.
If you want to do a nice Christmas shopping right now, you come into Centra there now, I'll have to give him a plug. Centra in Urlingford, your place to go for the bargain.
Listen, you're a great man. Look after yourself and a happy Christmas to you. That's Michael Joseph, one of the regular contributors, the many regular contributors indeed to the show. 1800-938-007. Apologies about the sound of that, by the way. We have a reverb or an echo chamber on our phones this morning for some reason or other. We'll try and sort it out. Back in a moment with more Tip Today. We're live from Nina today from Pierce Street in Nina.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
1800-938-007. Noel O'Dwyer is online with me. Noel, good morning to you.
Hello, Fran. How are you keeping?
I'm very well indeed. Good news for us, Noel, because the bridge that we're always talking about in Thurles...
I'm beginning to wonder, Fran, should we enter it in the Guinness Book of Records at this stage? Because it was filled the morning... Johnny Purcell was on to you from under the blankets, saying that I was headbutting walls and cribbing the whole time. So, but every one of the holes are empty again, and have a couple of more along with them. Now, what I'd like to see the council doing, they're probably waiting to get money from the crowd that made the havens of the first day. But what I'd like to see the council do in the interim is to get a couple of Stanley knives, get even second-hand ones, and cut the membrane from around inside in the hole. Cut that out of it.
Right. Why would you want them to do that?
Because that's loose. That's you see, they're trying to put an inch of tarmac on top of plastic.
Right.
And the plastic is actually gone away from where they put it down originally anyway. It isn't the plastic itself isn't stable on the bridge.
Mm.
So if they can cut that out of it, it'll only take a couple of seconds to go around the perimeter of the hole and then clean the edge of the hole and get a bit of tar then and sprinkle that into the hole first and around the edges of it and put in either tar macadam then or what would do a good job on it as well, I think that depth of a hole would be the yellow elephant, you know, that patcher that goes around.
Right, you see, I wouldn't be a DIY person, either, so yeah, I'd have no idea.
You see that patcher going around, the yellow thing with the trunk out in the front of it, and it sprays in
and
it'd be ideal for that job, you know. And they could give it a couple of passes, you know, just to make it, bring it up level. And then when they'd have it up level with the existing surface, give a little sprinkle, maybe a foot or so around the joining of the hole, you know, to kind of seal the where the joining took place.
Right, okay. I thought some work had been done on this over the last couple of weeks.
They did it 2 days ago. Sir.
Two days ago. Yeah.
And the whole thing has gone out of it again.
Already?
Oh, it is, yeah. That's why I was thinking we should get into the Guinness Book of Records for the shortest stay
tarmac
in any hole in the world.
And it's literally gone already.
Gone completely, you can see it. Anyone can ring in if they want to. Actually, if Johnny Purcell is up, he might give an old ramble and have a look at it.
If he got out from under the duvet.
Johnny was telling me, saying that I was headbutting walls, you know. To tell him, I tried to confine it to a nap finish. I keep away from dashed walls as much as possible.
That's probably very good advice indeed. So look, this was a waste of time and money then, you're
saying? Waste of time and money, yeah. But you see, the whole thing should be just scooped out of it. In a couple of hours would do it with Kelly's Fantan and do it right. And end the story. Now, there's another man that was on to your dear friend about the headlights being left on in cars.
Yeah.
I was going down to, actually, funny enough, heading to Abbey Leaks the other evening, and just outside Mary Willie's, on along towards Urlingford, there was this car with the headlights on, coming against me, as I thought. And there was another one, you know, out on the left-hand lane, coming on the normal side of the road.
Yeah.
And then I said, jeez, I said to myself, that lad must be overtaking the other car or something. He's not able to get in time or something. So I began to swerve in a bit to the left. But then I noticed I was kind of heading straight for him in the... He was parked outside the house, whether he was waiting for someone to go to bingo or what, but... Jesus,
with the lights on.
I tell you one thing, it was the nearest thing I ever came to going head-on into a fella.
My God.
You know, and another one, friend, on that as well, is, do you ever notice in the night time, I'm beginning to wonder, have tractors any dim switches on them? Because if there's a tractor coming with a load of bales or whatever, any bit of a white machinery behind it, to have the headlights on full belt, and you haven't a clue what's behind the tractor. Instead of having the headlights of the tractor on dim, and maybe a light, a small white light or something on the perimeter or the outside extremity of the load.
Sometimes the trailer is wider than the tractor.
Oh, yes, you could have a trailer a couple of foot out from the back of a tractor, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then
funnily enough, I came across it near, where was it today? Not so far from Hollyford today, I came across a guy in a tractor with a very big load, but he had those white lights at the back of the tractor.
Yeah, and they're as bad as any two, because you see, they kind of dazzle you coming behind, because they're kind of trained back too far. You see, all you need to do is have the extremity of the outside of the trailer anyway lit up. You know, with a small white light or something, and have your other lights then. And what that man was saying as well about the number plates on cars.
Yeah.
You see, there's more cars going around, and you might as well be looking at a black hole of Calcutta, because you can't read anything with the muckers on them.
And what do you think should happen where that's concerned?
Well, sure, they should be fined on the spot. You were talking this morning about... the cars years ago, if you hadn't a light on your bike. I remember I was a nervous wreck for the bones of a fart that year when I was about 17. it was Tony Kelly, the poor man, he caught me. He was a guard in mine at the time. And I was down at the end of the lane talking to Johnny Flynn, a few more of the boys, and coming down from the hall. But I have no light in the old bike. He took me name and all, man. Sure, I was in a nervous wreck for about a fart.
Yeah, because my father always spoke about that. You know, he was talking about the guard stopping you if you didn't have a light on your bike. And there was nowhere near as much traffic or danger at that point.
It's all in the road. You could cycle in and out. All you have to do would be able to hope it's bright enough to see up between the two ditches, you know, where you were going.
Yeah, now, in fairness, some of the cyclists have fantastic lighting. Well, they're like Christmas trees on wheels at times.
It's another thing, friend, now that I have a chance to crib at all.
Never know.
You know those little reduce the traffic, the speed going into town, villages, mostly.
Yeah, sure.
These little little islands that are in the middle of the road.
Traffic calming measures is what they call them.
They should be washed every now and again to that they can reflect the lights of cars coming, because you could skull one of them, no trouble, you
know. That's true.
And paint it regularly, and just only a small thing will keep those things.
But you see, the small things could be keeping people alive, you know.
Tell Johnny Purcell to stay in bed anyway this morning.
he's not up yet. He hasn't been in contact with us, but we'll see what happens as the day goes on. Listen, look, happy Christmas to you, Noel.
Friend, you're a musical man now. Were you watching that thing last night on RT1, I think, about the Choir of Ages?
No, I wasn't, but I heard about it.
It was brilliant.
I believe it was fantastic.
Brilliant article, David Brophy, and the kids, and there was 85-year-olds and 90-year-olds just singing by. And I saw it again last year. It was people that were living rough, you know, the kind of people would
probably... That they formed a choir, yeah.
But it was a fantastic show. Wasn't it great?
You see, we'll have to get you singing now next, Noel.
I might send you in an old CD of myself sometime. We'll play a special request for Johnny.
All right, look after yourself, Noel. Bye-bye to you now. That's Noel O'Dwyer there from Thurles with his concerns about the bridge. Once again, it was repaired 2 days ago. It now appears to be back in the same state again. So what does it say about people who do the very same thing again and expect a different outcome? I'm not sure. Anyway, 1800 938 007. We're back in a moment.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Welcome back to TIP Today Now. Well, Christmas is a time of great fun and enjoyment for many. For others, it can be a difficult time. And it can be difficult, I suppose, where to know where to turn at this time of year. Joining me now to talk more about this is Breed O'Mara, and Breed is Director of Services with Aware. Good morning to you, Breed.
Good morning, Fran. How are you today?
I'm very well indeed, and it's good to talk to you. What is it about this time of year that can prove difficult for some people, Breed?
Yeah, I think some of it is you know, the expectation. You know, there's a great expectation that Christmas is this wonderful time and it's a great family time and that people are always happy, and all the images that are portrayed of Christmas are all, you know, happy families and everybody getting on great. And that's not always the case for everybody. And I think, you know, it can be a very stressful time where, you know, people are thrown together with other people that maybe aren't the people that they'd most like to be with. And that can be challenging. And the other thing is that there's a lot of pressure at the time on finances. There's a lot of pressure on events and alcohol and food. And, you know, it can create quite a bit of stress for people.
And your advice to them about sort of, well, doing something about this in some ways, what would that be, Breed?
Well, I think, you know, over the Christmas period, I think there's a number of things that people can do to help themselves and to look after themselves and self-care. And I think one of the most important things around Christmas time is to manage the alcohol intake. You know, alcohol is a depressant, and if somebody is having a tough time, alcohol can actually make it worse. So alcohol is known to be a depressant and impacts on the mood, as does sugar. So, you know, there's lots of sweets and chocolate and everything around at Christmas, which is all lovely. But that can give you a short-term feeling, good feeling, but you can have a slump after it. So if you're somebody who struggles with your mood, that's something that's worth keeping an eye on as well. I would always suggest to people, you know, I know it's cold around Christmas time and it's winter, but I still think it's a really good idea to try and get some exercise in every day. You know, when you exercise, you're releasing endorphins in your body, which make you feel better. And as well as that, exercise is really good for you. So even if it was just to go for 5 minutes out in the fresh air and just to move your body, if you're somebody that can't go out, even if it was to, you know, go up and down the stairs, anything just to exercise your body, it's really, really good for you.
Right, and there is definitely a feel-good factor to
definitely,
that.
Definitely.
Well, one of the other things, as you say, we're often thrown together. I mean, it seems like a great idea. Let's get all the family together.
I know.
And it is, for a lot of people, a great idea.
Wonderful, yes.
But it can sort of heighten the emotions, and as you say, you add alcohol to that, and a lot of the old stuff, the sleeping dogs get woken up. That can be an issue with people too, I presume.
It can. And I think it's important for people, you know, if that's the case, you know, to just be conscious yourself and know how your own behaviours impact your mood. You know, because we can all try and take responsibility for ourselves. We can't take responsibility for anybody else. What somebody else does is their responsibility, and we've no control over that, but we have control over what we do ourselves and what actions we take and what our own behaviours are. So if people can be just aware of that and know how their own behaviours impact their mood and how their own behaviours trigger things, that's really, really helpful. To be aware of that when you're heading into an event. And the other thing, you know, I love the sentence, you know, stay out of the ring. It takes two people to have an argument. So, you know, it's about staying out of the ring. Easier said than done sometimes. But, I think it's a really good thing to recall. You know?
Well, I used to have a short fuse for years, but I found that I felt so badly after arguments that I tried to avoid them.
Now, yes.
Because sometimes we don't look to the aftermath of an argy-bargy and realize that we probably will feel worse ourselves than the person we had a go at, you know?
That's right.
What about the people? Of course, Christmas is a great milestone if you've lost somebody, and it can be a milestone time and time again. People who are grieving, Breed?
Yeah, I think Christmas can be a very difficult time for people who are grieving, and, you know, my advice would be to, you know, be kind to yourself. This is a tough time. You know, Christmas is a tough time when you've lost somebody during the year. And, you know, I think it's also a time where people tend to be nostalgic and think back over things, and it is a milestone. So just to be kind to yourself, you know, talk. It's really, really important to talk. Talk to somebody you trust. If you don't have somebody in your close group that you trust, you know, there are a number of organizations, and we have a support line available from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., 365 days a year, 1-800-80-48-48. And if somebody is worried about their mood or worried about anxiety or worried about anything like that, they can pick up the phone and call 1-800-80-48-48, and that'll be open over Christmas.
Do you get more calls at this time of year?
We tend to get more calls coming into the winter period, and because we're open over Christmas, we always get calls over Christmas, always. Our calls have increased considerably in the last year and a half. Our phone line went free phone in March 2016, and we have noticed a steady increase in the calls to the line since then. We have the largest number of calls every month now that we ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is there a common denominator that's coming up time and time again, Breed?
Well, our line, like, as you know, AWARE provides information, education and support to people who are experiencing depression, bipolar disorder and anxiety. So most of the calls that come to us are from people who are concerned about their own mental health, concerned about their mood. But about 15% of the calls are coming from concerned friends, relatives who just want to get some information. Our lines are manned by AWARE-trained volunteers. So when people call our line, it's to be able to talk and to be listened to in a non-judgmental way, so that they can explore options that would be helpful for them. So it's not that that when they call, they're being given advice. It's not about getting advice. It's about being listened to in a non-judgmental way and exploring options that are available to the caller at the time of the call that would be helpful.
All right. And that number again is 1-800-80-48-48. Is that right?
That's right.
One of our listeners with a query about the notion of SAD, that
seasonal affective disorder.
Is that something that you believe goes on? I mean, the seasons and the bad weather, does it affect our moods?
Yes, we would feel it does.
Would you?
You know, we know that there's quite an impact on mood coming into the winter and coming into the spring. They're the two times that there can be quite a significant...
Coming into the spring as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
Coming into the spring when the winter is over, it can be quite an impact on mood at that time.
I would have never thought that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd imagine people might feel better when, you know, we'd have more lights and there's a little bit of growth out there. And
seasonal affective disorder can work both ways.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it can. So, you know, you hear of people who feel worse in the summer, and that can be seasonally affective as well.
Isn't that very interesting?
Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you do great work, Breed, yourself and your team. Thank you very much for coming on with us this morning.
Can I just say one other thing just for your listeners before I go? We also run education programs for people, and we run a program called Life Skills. It's a 6-week program. It's an hour and a half a week. It's free. And we're coming to Horsenjockey in January, the end of January, 31st of January. And the Life Skills program, and some of your listeners will be able to identify with this. The whole idea of the Life Skills program is that, you know, when we have an unhelpful thought, it impacts how we feel. Yeah. It impacts how we feel in our body, and that impacts what we do. And then that in turn impacts what we think and how we feel and how we physically feel and what we do. And that can become a vicious circle. And the idea of this 6-week program is to help people to stop that circle from spinning. So if there's any of your listeners that identify with that whole concept of the circle spinning out of control when you've had an unhelpful thought, this program might be something that would really help you. So it's on in Horsenjockey on Wednesday night, starting the 31st of January. We will be opening for registration on our website, aware.ie, at the beginning of January. And if anybody is interested in booking a place, they can just go on to aware.ie, follow the link for the Life Skills Program, and they'll be able to book a place. What we do is we ask people when they're booking if they wouldn't mind paying a €30 deposit if they're employed and a €10 deposit if they're not employed, and we refund that money at the end of the program. And the only reason we ask for the deposit is so that we know that the people that are booking the places really want to do the program.
Right, that they're serious about it. Yeah, that's very understandable.
So they just have to ring Aware when the program is over and we'll refund them money.
So aware.ie, but you're not open for registration now, are you?
No, we won't be opening for registration until the new year. Mm-hmm. And then the program will start on Wednesday, the 31st of January in Horsenjockey.
All right. Well, listen, it sounds like a great idea. Good to talk to you today, and a happy Christmas.
And a happy Christmas to you and to all your listeners as well.
Bye-bye.
Take care now.
Bye-bye. That's Breed O'Mara, who's Director of Services with the organization Aware. That free phone number again for Aware is 1800 80 48 48.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And welcome back to Tip Today. Now, Carrick and Shure will be alive with the sound of tractors this weekend as the local farming community teams up with the Carrick and Shure Business Association, the County Council, and a raft of volunteers for the Christmas Tractor Run. Joining me now on the line is Stuart John Downey, who is one of the organisers of the event. Stuart, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are preparations going for the weekend, Stuart?
Slow but steady.
Okay. And how many tractors are you expecting at this?
We have roughly 35 tractors.
Very good. And they'll all be lit up?
All fully illuminated, yeah. We'll probably be looking at in the region of roughly 80,000 lights, maybe a bit more with it.
Wow. Okay. So whereabouts in Carrick and Shure will you start off from?
We will come in from the Dungarvan Road. We proceed down through Carrick Beg, over the new bridge, down the main street, turning right then onto O'Mahony Avenue, along the main Waterford Road before we turn back up into the town centre, and we come to a halt there in the town hall car park.
Very, very good. And what time do you kick off at?
We will be rolling into Carrick there around 5:30.
About 5:30 on Saturday?
Tomorrow,
Saturday. Okay, very good indeed. Now, is it too late for people to get involved in the tractor run?
Well, we're full now as regards big tractors and as regards pedal tractors. We have a little mini kids parade as well, where they're bringing their pedal tractors, and they're going to lead the parade to its finish.
It should be fantastic altogether. And of course, this isn't your first time. You've been doing this for a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, this is our fourth year doing it now.
Right.
We came up with the idea there in 2014.
Very good. And of course, the Business Association delighted with you, I would imagine, because it's going to bring people to town to witness the great event.
Yeah, I mean, the Business Association really jumped on board with us. And now as the years have gone on, the shops are doing special deals on the day, there's free car parking. You know, it's a real community spirit, you know. Everything kind of, on the week, the run-up to the Christmas tractors there, the town kind of gets a real buzz about it, you know. And kind of, I suppose today now and tomorrow, it'll be really hopping in there, you know.
I'd say it's going to be fantastic. So tomorrow, 5:30, and just to remind people, you're setting out from?
Yeah, we'll be coming into Carrick from the Dungarvan side.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take in both sides of Carrick, and then we'll continue on then over the new bridge down the main street. We'll do a lap of the town, and we will be into the town hall car park then for the rest of the evening, where there'll be amusements and food and what Santi will be there. Santi's arriving as well.
All right. Well, it sounds absolutely fantastic. You sound like you have a full house there.
Yeah, I have two minis here. two-year-old and a one-year-old here.
Oh, God. Oh, I remember it well. I remember it well indeed. Well, listen, we'll let you back to them. Have a ball tomorrow. I'm sure it's going to be a great occasion altogether.
Great, thanks a million.
Thanks very much indeed. That's Stuart John Downey there, who is one of the chief organisers of that Carrick and Shore tractor run tomorrow from 5:30 in association with Carrick and Shore Business Association and indeed the County Council as well. One of our listeners wondering, is vitamin D good to improve your mood at this time of year? And certainly I know that Anne Darcy, our nutritionist, has told us several times that it's extremely good indeed. So there you go. Fran, I live on a by road. I came across a man on a horse. He was training the horse. No lights, no yellow jackets. Very, very dangerous indeed. Noreen Kennedy of Richmond and Nina was on to say, I want to say a big thank you to everybody at Tip FM and to Pamela Scotts in Nina. Because my voucher arrived this morning. Happy Christmas to all. It goes without saying, my radio station will stay tuned to Tip FM for 2018. You do a mighty job altogether. So thanks very much indeed to Noreen where that is concerned. All right, let us move on. The Tipperary School has been honoured by the Road Safety Authority this week in their Leading Lights Awards. And we spoke to some students from Cloche to Muira, co-ed in Thurles, who lobbied to the County Council to have a wall demolished near Semple Stadium to improve safety. Now, I was at the school and we had a good old chat about this, but I'm delighted once again now to be joined online by Dennis Quinn, who is the principal of the school, and indeed students Jack Cooney, Shirley and Ellen Clark as well. But first of all to you, Dennis, congratulations to you.
Thank you very much. Yes, we're very, very proud of our students and their endeavours to date in this very successful project, and getting their student voice heard right throughout the county, out throughout Thurles and Thurles Town.
And just to remind people again, they came up with this notion themselves and the students saw it through to the end, so to speak.
Yes, actually, about 2 years ago, the students came up with a problem. There was an issue walking to school. The footpath was quite narrow. The numbers were growing and they had to step off the footpath when they met an old person or anybody that was maybe not walking as fast themselves into oncoming traffic or maybe lorries. So they came with the problem, they came with an idea, but they also came with a solution and looked for a meeting. They didn't do the usual thing, looking for petitions. They said, we would like a meeting with the county councillors, and we were very, very lucky because on our board of management, we have John Hogan and we have Micheál Lowry, and they're very, very helpful to us. And we arranged a meeting with the county councillors and the local area engineers for the county council. Our students put together a very comprehensive plan on what the dangers were and what could be done to resolve it. And lo and behold, right now, the wall has been taken down as a result of the students' endeavours.
Fantastic. And they've gotten an award for themselves as well.
RSA, the Road Safety Authority, contacted us, and they had become aware of this. They have a Leading Lights Award where our students, where they award students around the country who have come up with innovative ideas. And yes, they got on to us and they asked us, and our students have just returned. They were up in Croke Park in Dublin with the teacher that leads the student council, Miss Josephine Cahill, was with them. They went up to Dublin and they had a fantastic day where they were honoured in Croke Park with this award, Leading Light Award for Road Safety Authority Ireland.
Well, it's fantastic news. Can I have a word with some of the students, Dennis, if that's okay?
I'm joined with Miss Cahill is with me, Jack Cooney, Shirley and Ellen Clark are with me right now. So Jack Cooney is with me right now, if you want to talk to them.
Right, Jack, how are you? The last time we spoke, you were giving me an idea about what the whole project was about. Did you think that there might be a possibility of being acknowledged in this way and winning such a great award?
I had no idea that I would go to this point. It's a huge deal. Like, it's the RSA, the official, like, road safety people. giving us an award for something that a group of students did. It's huge.
And it just goes to show you how young people like yourselves can influence a political decision, I suppose.
Yeah, it does. It's surprising, actually. It's, well, we're all made up of different age groups from, what, 12, 13 to all the way up to 18. Only a certain group of us are allowed to vote, yet we could actually manage to get this done, which is surprising.
Right, so I think Ellen Clark is with you as well. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning.
Good to talk to you. Your thoughts on this, Ellen? You must be delighted with yourself.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. I didn't think we would get this far, and we're very interactive with our community, so it was fairly easy, and Mr. Quinn is good with people, and he's able to get through, and we have numbers and names, and we're all pretty familiar with the County Council now by now.
Very good. You went to Croke Park to pick up your award. What was that like?
Oh, it was brilliant. We were treated like royalty. The food was... they were very nice people. There was plenty of awards as well. 13 categories. There were 25 awards. And it was pretty good.
Excellent. Now, please tell me it's not going to stop here. Have you other ideas about how you can influence public decisions like this?
Not at the moment, but we'll probably have another meeting and let our thoughts out, and we'll see then.
All right. Well, listen, my congratulations to you all and from everybody at TIP FM. Congratulations to the school, and particularly to your principal, Dennis, there as well. Well done to Jack Cooney there and Ellen Clark and everybody who was involved with that fantastic initiative by the school. 1800 938 007.